Thanks, Kelsey. I owe you an apology again in the bulletin. I did it wrong again. I know. It's this ongoing joke at my expense. Kelsey, every once in a while, she comes and she leads, you know, our worship. She's usually up there co-leading with Phil, but Phil just got back. Like last night, at what time did you guys fly in? Late. They got in late. And so, being the responsible man he is, he had his contingencies all in place. And I fall on the death chart very far down. Three-chord Chris, when it comes to worship leading, I'm down below several stages. Well, anyway, worship, Kelsey's our number one go-to person. Well, but when she leads, I get it wrong, I think, almost every time in the bulletin. It says Phil today. Last time I think I did it, I put down Kelsey, her maiden name, because I knew her when she was, you know, in junior high. So I put Kelsey Knudsen. So sorry, Kelsey, wherever you are. Also, another introduction, too. Mike Brown was surprised is here today. Mike, can you just wave? Mike, if you were looking in your bulletins, on November 2nd, Mike's going to be sharing with us, and we're thrilled about that. Mike is the guy that I consider my pastor. Laura and I, we consider Mike to be our pastor. He works at the Northwest Conference. He's the guy I'm accountable to, so you're my boss, man. Until these guys become my boss. You guys become my boss when we officially become a church, but you're the boss right now. Good coach. Coach, he says. See why he's my pastor? I got to tell this story now. I'll tell it again when he comes back, because I just love this story. This is the kind of church I want us to become, and this is a true story from Mike. He was a church planter. How many churches did you plant? So you started up two different churches, and in one of them, after living in rented spaces, you know, like this for a while, they finally got their building, and the first service that they got in there with the new building, he comes up with a can of Coke, I think it was. He opens it up, pours it on the floor, and says, well, we got that done. You know? Isn't that awesome? That it's not about the building, it's about the people and what God's doing, and this is a tool. Now, I'm not going to do that probably when the day comes, but he's a better man than me. Anyway, so it's great to have Mike here. It's thrilling to have all you guys here. It's great. I saw a whole bunch of new faces, and it's going to be fun now as we get back into fall and people start coming back. I'm excited. Well, as many of you guys know, our family's been moving. You know how moving's not an event, it's a process that goes on and on and on and on and on. There's all the stuff that happens after the move, and then there's all the stuff leading up to the move. And the house we used to live in is a split level. And so you come in and you have a little entryway, and then stairs go up and stairs go down. Well, in most of those houses where that happens, downstairs you have a closet that makes use of that space. Well, that's a space that we rarely went into. Almost every time I went into there, I was really hard to stay a good practicing Christian, you know, because you're finding this stuff and you're like, oh, we got too much stuff and all this. Well, anyway, buried, the thing slopes because it's coming under the stairs. Buried at the very far corner as we were preparing for a move and pulling everything out, I found this thing. I hadn't seen it for a long time. And inside this thing, I have what's called cassette tapes. We've mentioned these before in this service. All of you who are under 18, could you raise your hand, please? All right. Now, repeat after me. Cassettes used to be cool. All right? I got some vintage stuff here. I got the Michael W. Smith Project. Did anyone else ever have this on tape? Huh? All right, look at that. Oh, he's looking good. He probably tries to undo these. And then here's the other thing, too. Well, let me get to one of my points with this. One of the things that made cassette tapes cool is back in the day we had two options when you wanted to take music your way with you. You didn't really have any options except the radio to have music with you. You had records, radio and records, but you couldn't really take those with you and play what you wanted when you wanted it. So cassette tapes were cool because now you could take the music you wanted with you. And the people who are my age and older are going, yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. And the others are going, there was a time when you couldn't? You know. And here was what's cool about how you could make music your way. You could make what was called mixtapes. Wasn't that an awesome invention? Because you know, you should not be able to do that. You'd have to take like all your tapes with you, or that was it, you know? This way you could take the songs you wanted, you could put them all on the same tape. It was so cool, because you otherwise you'd buy the tape and you like two songs that you liked on there. Or how many of you have ever done this when, or used to do this, when like American Top 40 was playing, you'd be ready to go with your record and play. So like if it was a good song and then, oh, it's the bad song. And, you know, quit talking, you know, when they're over the top of it. All right. Casey Kasem, all right. And again, sorry I just lost all of you guys under 18, but it brought back some memories. Again, my point in telling you guys this was that back in the day, this was a major innovation. It was a very American innovation because you could have music your way. You could play what you want, when you wanted, as long as you could reverse the song, you know, by all that. Okay, enough of that. And America's just, you know, we've commented on that before, just as technology went on, it became even easier. You can have music your way. You can take stuff with you in those little tiny iPods that big. You can play the songs you want when you want to play them. That's very, very American. Well, about the time that cassette tapes were big, there was a company called Burger King that had this major innovation. They decided, rather than when you just went to the fast food restaurant, you would just get it one way, they had a slogan. Can we put the slogan on the screen? They had this slogan. They said, you can have it, what? Your way at Burger King. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. How'd it go? Hold the special orders, don't upset us. Yeah, they had a whole song. And now they're just repeating it with that Burger King thing they're doing now, or the Big Mac jingle thing. Back in the day, they just had one jingle. It was that. It was really bad. But their point was good. And back then, this was major innovation because their whole thing was, you come, you're not only going to get your food fast, you're going to have it fast, and you're going to have it exactly the way you want it. Well, now this slogan no longer works because everybody does that, right? Every fast food thing, I'll have a number two, supersized, this, that. You have it your way. That is the American way. You have it your way. You have it the way you want it. You have it when you want it. You're a consumer, and you can have it the way you want. Now, what would happen if we start to switch this around? Don't switch the screen yet, but think about this for a minute. What if you approached everything like that? Because that's the temptation. You know, I like living in a country where you can have things your way when you want it. I'm very impatient when it comes to not having things, you know, the way I want it when I want it. But sometimes I wonder if it's bad for our soul to live in a country like this. Because we take that, which is okay for music, okay for fast food, we take that and then without intentionally doing it, we often apply it to other things and it doesn't work. You know, think about if in a family, and many of you, maybe you operate in a family like this, where there's a family member who wants it their way all the time. Does a family work when it... Someone who's obviously not here, right? As you guys look at each other, yeah, I know, not me, but this other... Okay, you know what I mean? Does a family work well when someone in the family says, I want it my way all the time? No, it doesn't work like that. And it's like that in other areas too. A marriage, if one person says, it's going to be my way, it doesn't work. All relationships are like that. Or in a team. A lot of you have been on different teams before, whether it's a music team or a sports team. When they want it their way, I'm going to make the shot. I'm going to be the ball hog. I'm going to play my trombone. When I want to play my trombone, I'm going to play the notes I want to play. That doesn't work, right? What about church? What if we try to say, I'm going to have it my way? In fact, now you can hit the slide. What if this was a slogan that we started doing as a church? Have it your way at your church. We should, I try not to repeat stuff very often here. I'll try not to. Certain things that we say we will repeat, certain scriptures we will repeat, videos and stuff like that, we'll try not to, but I couldn't pass this up. We played this one before. It's called Me Church. It shows this to as well as anything I've seen. It's like a minute and a half long. Let's go ahead and hit the lights, play the clip, and see if you think this is what church should be like. There, that was my mistake on the button there. You know, this thing that we're used to in our lives of having things the way we want it, when we want it, we don't know that we apply that. We get so used to it, we start to apply that mindset to other things. And what happens if you apply that to certain relationships? What happens if you apply that to church? And it's easy to do. It's easy to do. Back in the day before cassette tapes, the American way when it came to church used to be more like this. If you were born a Lutheran, where would you go? To a Lutheran church. If you were born a Catholic, where would you go? To the Catholic church. If you were born a Baptist, where would you go? To the Baptist church. If you moved and you were raised Methodist, what kind of church did you look for? A Methodist church. In fact, it's funny to listen to some folks from the generation ahead of me, and sometimes they'll talk about, yeah, we're a mixed marriage. And you're like, what? What do you mean by that? And they would say, we married two different religions. And I said, okay, so you're Christian, so was she Jewish? Was she Hindu? No, she was Baptist. Okay. You know, because that's what they thought. It was a totally different religion. To go outside of your brand of Christianity was like a different brand. And many people, it was scandalous. You married a Lutheran? You know, you married an Assemblies? You know, it was just, that's not the way it was done. Well, things started to change. And I don't know exactly when, there was probably no one date, but things began to change. And people began to take this American consumer mentality, have it your way. Maybe it's Burger King's fault. Let's blame it on them. But it started to change. And people began to say, well, I'm going to pick this church because I like this. I'm going to pick this church because I like this. I'm going to pick this church because I like this. And there's some good aspects to that if you're going for the right reasons and you're looking for the right things. But again, you can take it too far. And what happened now, we have a whole phrase called, a whole phrase called church shopping, that term that's starting to be used, you know, church shopping. And a lot of people just use it in fun, but I started thinking about that term, and that's really what a lot of people do. It's no longer, I'm just picking a church because, boy, I think this is the place where I would fit right, and this is the place that I think would be the best for myself and my family. Now it's church shopping. It's, well, I want this from this church, and this from this church, and this from this church, and this from this church. You know, no one church can do it all. That's true. No one church can do everything as well as every other church. So why not just have it your way? Why not get the teaching from this church, get the music from this church, get the kids programming from this church, get the small group from this church, get the teen stuff from this church? Why not? That's what we want to talk about today. Again, you can take anything too far, but I think more false than true is what we're going to talk about today, that membership matters. Well, if you want to pull out your notes, there's a place to write some things down. And the first thing I'd like you to write down is this. Here's why I think you should commit to one church. We'll put that up on the screen. I think individuals should make a covenant to a faith community because gas is way too expensive to run all over town from church to church. Is that the right reason? No, don't write that down. Just Labor Day, you know, had to do something. Okay, here we go. Here's what I think. If I were to sum it up, I think you should covenant with a faith community. Covenant is a word that means making a lasting, you know, commitment, at least as long as God would have you there, with a faith community. You should, and I didn't specifically say church because that word has too much baggage. I think church can look different. Well, obviously, you're in a middle school. It can look very, very different. But you should covenant with a consistent faith community because membership matters. In fact, repeat after me, membership matters. Thank you. It does. And that's not just me saying this as a person who is a leader of a church. This is a biblical position. As my own faith experience has matured, I went from a passionate thing as an 18-year-old where I'm like, church doesn't matter. It's all about Christ. I went from that to realizing following Jesus is going to eventually lead you to a faith community that you're really a part of. I still believe it's about Jesus. It's not about one individual congregation. But following Jesus will eventually lead you to committing to a group of folks. And that might change. He might call it over time because of a move, because of something that happens in your life. He might choose to have you committing to a different group of people. But I believe that God's first best, a biblical response, is to become part of a community where you know and are known. Well, we're going to move pretty quick here through our sheets today. But the next thing I want you to write down is this. Individuals should covenant with a faith community. Here's one of the becauses. Because membership matters. Oh, we already have that one. Here's one of the, another because. Because. Membership matters because we were created for community. Let me try that again. Membership matters because we were created for community. And it's, we know this, right? We deep down, we know there's something in us that draws us into community. Otherwise, why would guys wear their pants down so low right now? Does that make any rational sense? Does it? Yeah, you're just going, I know who does. Yeah, does that make any rational sense? Even if you do it, come on, be honest. Does it make any rational? It's cooler. I don't know. We're short. It doesn't make rational sense, right? Why do guys do that? Why do younger guys do that? Or older guys who want to be like the younger guys? Sorry. Why do they? Because it's like other people are doing it. If you're honest, you're doing it because other people are doing it, right? Okay. Girls, and I can't let you off the hook. You know why do girls get on the phone 6 hours a day? It's a community thing, right? And some people less than others, but it's a community. You want to be connected somehow. And I'm not just dissing the older or the younger people here. If adults, we do the same thing. Don't we just hide it a little bit better, right? We just hide it. We do the same thing. We have things that we do because we don't want to be set apart from certain people. Or we want to become part of certain things. We do it at work. We do it with friends. We do it in our families. We adjust because community is something that we long for. Again, some people more than others, but I would say everybody longs for relationships with where you can know and be known, where it's real and it's substantive relationships. We were created this way. I've talked about these passages before, but I've never put them up on the screen. And I have a person that knows Hebrew a lot better than I, so he can even get the pronunciation right. Can we put up the stuff from Genesis? We were created this way. And here's this thing that I've referred back to several times. Eve was created as Adam's helper, which is E, right? Ezer? Ezer, which is Ezer. The exact same word used for this relationship between Adam and Eve is used for God in these other passages. And not only that, Adam and Eve were created to be one, which is Echad. And one of the landmark verses in all of the Old Testament is the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and it's the exact same word. We were created for this community with God and with each other. It's part of how we were created. And it's not just an Old Testament thing, and it's not just a marriage thing. Here's some passages from, I put these in your notes too, from the New Testament. Take a look at this. This is unbelievable. And in fact, as you're looking at these, you might want to write the next talk point down. Membership matters because you can't one another alone. And look how many, I guess getting too fast here today. Sorry, Levi. I'm getting ahead of things. Okay, write this down, then we'll take a look at some of them. Membership matters because you can't one another alone. You were created to one another. And now let's take a look at some of the New Testament examples of this. This is not all of them. This is some of the places. And this is not the each others. There's more of those. But look at this. The Bible says, love one another. The Bible talks about us asking and discussing with one another, being devoted to one another, honoring one another, living in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another, it says in the Word. Accept one another as what? Christ accepted you. Instruct one another, submit to one another, forgive one another, admonish one another with all wisdom. Encourage one another and build each other up. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Do not slander one another. Live in harmony with one another. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Clothe yourselves with humility. I love that. Towards one another. Have fellowship with one another. Here's some. Four more we couldn't fit on the screen. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a kiss of love. So if you could now turn to each other. Let's go back to the other list. Imagine you're a person and you got transported back in time. Back to a time when these people were writing these words in the Bible through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what if you came with the very American understanding of church? And you came and said, you know what? I believe that it's all about Jesus and that it really doesn't matter whether or not you commit to a specific group of believers. What kind of face would one of the New Testament authors make? You can turn to someone and give them that faith. They'd be like, what? What kind of question is that? Sure, technically, is it possible to have your sins forgiven and be reconciled with God individually? Yes. But can you do Christianity by yourself? Christianity doesn't even make sense if you throw a commitment to a group of believers out. It doesn't even make sense. At least not in the full sense. And that's not just a New Testament thing. You could backtrack to the Old Testament and see that it was about community. God was growing a people. The way they even spoke, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My people, I'm a part of this clan. It's all the way there from start to finish. Community, connection with God and with one another. Now, it's hilarious because I was thinking about this, what we were going to talk about today. And you know how when you're thinking about something, you notice it around you, okay? So I'm thinking about community. And we just moved and we signed up for Comcast for our internet and phone and everything like that. And the Comcast ads that they had talked about the Comcast community. The Comcast community. And so I'm thinking about all the one another's. Can we put the one another's back up? I'm thinking about the one another's. And I'm thinking, okay, Comcast, is this what you're talking about? And they're doing that because they've done their homework. They've done the research. And go all around to your businesses and look how they're trying to use the words like community and belong. They know it because we all have this need. It's universal. And so they're trying to capitalize that on. But you know what? It's okay to have a consumer relationship with your internet provider. In fact, Comcast is kind of creeping me out. Talking about community. And you know who else creeps me out? My bank. I'm not exaggerating this for dramatic effect. I went to my bank and I went through the drive-thru. I didn't want to talk to anybody. Okay? I was in a hurry. I'm running errands. I got stuff to do. So I go through the drive-thru. You would think it's assumed you just want in and out quick, right? Three people came up to the window. Three different people. They all used my name. Hi, Christopher T. You know, I'm like, you know, they're saying, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, what are you doing this weekend? What are you? It's creeping me out. It's okay to have a consumer relationship with Burger King and with Comcast and with your bank. That's okay. But you have a longing for something deeper that I don't think these other organizations can pull off. Like the church can when the church is working right. Not when the church is working wrong, but when the church is working right. We can do this. And we can do the connection with each other and with God, which is how we were designed. That we can do. Quick analogy before we continue on this thought. I was thinking how to explain this in more concrete terms. And I was thinking about, you know those hot dogs they sell at gas stations? Ones have been rolling around for 4 days, 5 days. All right, what is your favorite steak place to eat? Like the best steak place in town? Shoot some of them out. Just yell them out. Outback, where? Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Porterhouse. Okay, there's a lot of great steak places, right? Okay, Comcast saying we have community. They're the hot dog on the rotisserie. You don't have to settle for that. You could settle for the steak. They're calling this beef hot dog steak. And to them, maybe it is because they've never tasted steak. This is what God's calling in. And a lot of us have never experienced this either. I've talked about that, how I feel like I'm rediscovering church. Unfortunately, though, and this is where I want to go now, unfortunately, this is not our experience, most of us. We're a church that is in community with other churches. We're trying to expand that role. We're going to have, Javier's going to join us. He's going to try to join us from the church that we were working with all of the school supplies. He's going to try to just join us and say hi on Sunday. We're going to try to do more of that. We're going to have Mike come in. We're a church that's in community. Well, when we were getting together with our church, one of the things I do in community is I get together down at the conference office, and Mike leads this, he coaches this meeting. He facilitates this meeting. He, whatever the right word that he would use with this meeting. He does, and then we come. And so we're coming, and it's cool because people are getting very real at that pastor's meeting, other pastors, other covenant pastors in this area. And I got to share a sad story with you. One of the pastors one week was sharing how he said, here's one of the things that just happened in my life. He said, my son had a child out of wedlock. And that's not the sad part. That's not sad. He said, it's not on my list of 3,000 things that I hoped would have happened, you know, as a pastor. But would you pray for me? But here's the sad part. There was this guy in his congregation, this guy who thought he was so spiritually mature. He was always trying to tell that pastor how to interpret the Bible correctly. He had a special understanding of theology that everything needed to fit within. And so this guy schedules a meeting with this pastor, and the guy unloads all these criticisms on the pastor, and then he says, and I hope my son doesn't turn out like yours. Does that guy get community? He's coming in as Mr. Spiritual Expert, right? I'm telling you how you need to understand the Bible. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it at an elementary level. He doesn't. We're going to talk in a little bit, especially in a couple weeks, about how the Bible says we're supposed to be a body. Well, here's a question that if someone ever in our church comes at you like that, here's a question that I would have for that person. What do you call a rogue cell? We're supposed to be the body. What do you call a rogue cell acting without regard for the body? What do you call it? Exactly. Jesus, when it came to creating community, when it came to people who were trying to put their life back together, Jesus had amazing grace. When it came to people who were asking real questions, I don't believe yet, but I'm sincere in my questions, Jesus had amazing patience. For people like this guy who claimed to know God, but they were not acting Christ-like, Jesus was very confrontational. And I hope our culture can be one where we're trying to encourage one another. Let's go back to the one another's. This is what God calls us to be. And imagine a community like that. Imagine if you could, when you gathered with other people from our church, what if you experienced this? You could be yourself. You could be real. You could raise your questions. You did not have to put on happy, happy church face. Unless you were feeling happy, happy. Then you should. You know, isn't that what we're looking for? And isn't that what God created us to experience? Isn't that what God calls us to? Strong supporting the weak. Young, modeling for the old. And old modeling for the young. It's actually, they're both in there. Isn't that what we're created for? Isn't that what we hope to experience ourselves? Now, I want to show you something. If you have your Bibles, could you open them up, please? 1 Corinthians 12. Now, this is a passage we're going to dig deeper into in a couple weeks when we talk about what it means to be involved. But I want to just show you something about where it physically is. So if you have your Bibles, just open up here. This is a passage that says, let's put the words up on the screen. This is a passage, and we're starting with verse 12. Here's what this section of this passage says. And there's so much good stuff here, but I had to just limit it down. The body is a unit, although it's made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form what? One body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not be for that reason to cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not reason to cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them. And what does it say to close that out? Just as he wanted them to be. We all have a place. We all have a role. God created us to need each other and to come together and experience one another's and experience what can happen when God arranges the body. Again, we're going to talk more about that specific Brian, could you jet in and get me a glass of water while I'm talking? Thanks. We're going to go into detail on that that passage itself. But here's what I wanted to show you, and the reason I have you open up. Turn to the left, I guess it would be, and look at if your Bible has headings. The heading in this chapter says spiritual gifts. The very next heading says the Lord's Supper. The context for all of this about we're together comes after talking about communion, about what Christ did, and this thing that unifies us, the Lord's table. So this about all us having our parts comes in that context. And then flip to the other side. Thanks a lot, Brian.
You want to flip it too.
Biblical hospitality, look at that. I'm dying here, man, my throat. Okay, now, if you turn a little bit farther, oh, that was good. If you turn a little bit farther, you come to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. So not only does it talk about the important role we have with each other, not only does it set it all up with communion, but then it gets into the love chapter where it says these incredible words. Let me just read some of them. And this guy, I don't know how he skipped 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, people, you know what? People use that. I'm a prophet. I have to tell it like it is. Well, yeah, but if and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, good thing, surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. That's the context in which this body metaphor is given. A context of love, a context of what Jesus did on our behalf. That's the context that we have. God is not calling us to organized religion. That's not his intent. He's calling us into this kind of community. Let me just close with some thoughts I had. I was out painting yesterday and outside and I was thinking about how there's different levels of community, and that's okay. And it's good and it's healthy. And I was thinking about how, you know, we're had a year now of services. And I mentioned this also before, how many new Christmas card friends I have from our church since the start of this church. You know Christmas card friends, right? People who send you Christmas cards. And I'm thrilled. A lot of you who I knew your faces, we weren't Christmas card friends before, but now we're Christmas card friends. That's a good thing. You know, Jesus would have had Christmas card friends. They would have sent him a happy birthday card, but he would have had Christmas card friends. If you look in Tim's case, he would get a birthday and a Christmas card. He's a 25th guy. But Jesus had people who he had acquaintance relationships. They seemed to be friends, but they didn't seem to be tight like this, you know? There was this friendship group. And my hope for you is that at our church, you will have an increasing number of Christmas card friends. People who you start to get to know at that kind of a level. You know their name, you know their face. You have dialogue with one another. And my hope is that it doesn't end there. My hope is also that you have a growing group of phone friends. You know, the kind of people that you would feel comfortable calling up. If you're a girl, just to talk. If you're a guy, to do something. You know? People that you would feel comfortable picking up the phone and giving them a call. And it was exciting to think how many more phone friends I have since this church started. You know, a step kind of beyond Facebook. Someone that you would feel comfortable calling, hey, I'm moving, you know, can you help? Someone you'd feel comfortable just calling to get together. Hey, we're going to the fair. What are you doing? That kind of relationship. My hope is that that number would increase for you. Now, will that number be as high as your Christmas card friends? No. And that's okay. We're already past the point in this church where we can all be phone friends. We would never get off the phone, you know? But Jesus also had that group of disciples. It's a little different because he was discipling them, but it was smaller, right? My hope is that you will, at this church, have an increasing number of phone friends. And then I got really challenged. I read part of a book yesterday that talked about refrigerator friends. And I was trying to think, how many of these do I have? Not picture on the refrigerator. What he said is, do you have people in your life where you could just walk into their house, open up the fridge, and make yourself a sandwich, and that would be okay. And they could do that at your house. Maybe it was vice, you know, maybe you like doing that at their house, but do you have friends like that where it's so much of a relationship where you're just coming in, you're talking, you're making yourself a sandwich? You guys got that? That's awesome. That's awesome. I hope her parents think it's okay. And you know, back. But that's good. That's great to have. My hope is that you will also have a growing number of friends there where the relationship is really close. And again, with Jesus, he had relationship with big numbers of people, smaller number of people. And then he had this group of three, Peter, James, and John, that was extra close. And my hope is, besides just sharing food, that those one another's we talked about, could we put it up one last time? That you have a group of people where that's true. This is true. That you're moving towards this. And that you find that in your local community of faith. Does this make sense? And I believe, again, this is not just something we hope for. I think it's a biblical thing that the scriptures point us towards. What we're doing now that we're a year old is that we're going to start talking about membership. And it's never going to be awkward. We're never going to put you on the spot here at a church. But we're going to extend an invitation this fall, if you would like, to become a member. Now, there's another level that we'll get to when we officially become an official Covenant Church. But we're going to give you the opportunity to say, this is my home church. And then when that happens, have some things within that that will help these things happen. Here's, as we've been working on it, because been trying to figure out what will we consider our membership pieces. Here's what we've landed on so far. That when you make a covenant with our church, that you're going to make a covenant to say, I'm going to be in community. There's going to be a group of people here that I'm moving into deeper relationship with who are holding me accountable and all that kind of thing. In Christ, that I'm a person who, and we're going to talk about this one next week, that I've made a conscious decision to yield my life to Jesus Christ and follow him. Involved, that whole body piece, that's what we're going to talk about in 2 weeks. What does that mean? That I'm involved with this community. I'm investing. That this is a church that I feel I can invest my time and my resources into. And then inviting. That I have a group of people that I'm inviting others into. That's where we're going to be heading these next couple weeks. And I really hope you can join us. Well, as we close, I want to close with a prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples. If you could all stand with me as we close. And let's take a look at this. This is out of John. The context here is Jesus' last night on earth with his disciples before his trial, his mockery of a trial, and his execution. Jesus gathered a close group of friends in an upper room. They shared a very special meal together. And then Jesus prayed this. He said, my prayer is not for them alone. He was talking to God at this point. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Who is that? Ultimately, that's us. So God, Jesus is praying this for us, that all of them may be what? One. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Does that sound familiar? Old Testament? May they be one. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me. Now let me pray this in my own words. Let's pray. Lord, may this be true of us. May we experience an increasing amount of this oneness. Lord, help those of us who are more shy to be able to initiate conversations. Help those of us who are more outgoing to initiate conversations with those we don't know yet. Lord, we pray that we will experience more and more and more and more of the oneness with you and with others that you have said is possible. And Lord, even this week as we go forth, help us to, may your spirit in us begin to help us recognize the difference between false and true community. May it help us to differentiate when we should be a consumer and when we should approach the relationship differently. Lord, we pray that these things which you want to see happen would begin to happen, even starting right now. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great remainder of your Labor Day weekend, and we'll see you next week.